Welcome to the October Council meeting, and I declare the meeting open. And on behalf of the Council, I would like to acknowledge that this meeting is being held on the traditional lands of the Noongar people and pay respects to our Elders past, present and emerging. I wish to acknowledge and respect local people's continuing culture and the contribution they make to country and its life. The recording of proceedings, in accordance with Regulation 14I of the Local Government Administration Regulations, this meeting is being recorded and recordings will be available on the Shire's website. By being present at this meeting, members of the public consent to the possibility that their voice will be recorded. We're all here. Welcome to the members of the public. Use of the common seal is there for voting, as are the delegated actions, delegated authority actions that have been performed in the last month. Our response to previous public questions taken on notice. Ms Sharon Williams asked a question about the relocation costs of Brookton CRC at last month's meeting, and the response is there for people and will be in the minutes, and Ms Williams has been written to with a response. Public question times. Any public questions? Go on.
Just a couple.
You need name.
Yeah, go on,
too. From Brookton, thank you.
Firstly, the Memorial Park's starting to look a lot better. Is there going to be a bit more seed or anything thrown around to boost it a little bit?
Yes.
I noticed the greenery's like around the sprinklers or the wetter areas.
So we have a schedule with Newground, the contractor that we've employed this year. On October the 27th, we'll scarify, we'll plant Kukuyu stylons, we'll do a sand and compost, starter fertiliser and wetting agent.
Oh, good.
And then on the November the 17th, we'll do a fertiliser application and wetting agent.
Yep. And as I said, it is starting to come along a little bit. A few tourist things I've mentioned before here around town. I don't know how often any of us or lately have been up to the lookout. I was talking to Rod about this a week or two ago. There's a heap of rubbish laying around there. The road's pretty bad. Is that going to be fixed up?
Happy to. In the past, Council's had a lease agreement over that land.
Yep.
But at the moment, that lease agreement has expired. In fact, it expired some time ago.
Yep.
That is on a list of things that I, of tasks that I expect our new Community Development Officer to pursue.
Yep.
And then we'll take it up from there.
There's one part of the road, it's probably that deep. So when it rains, you can't get it through there, but... I might have even sent you some photos a few months ago of a heap of rubbish there.
Somebody told me there was some rubbish there.
Yeah,
there
might
have been a post on Facebook. And we followed up with the owner, with the alleged spread.
It wasn't alleged, it was true, the people who threw it there, because it came from myself.
But the owner of the property where the rubbish came from was a different person to the person who put the rubbish there.
Okay.
And I followed up with him, but... The owner of the property, the owner of the lookout, had been there already and cleaned up. A couple of days later, when the owner of the property where the rubbish had come from, when they returned to go looking up there, they couldn't find any because it had already been cleaned up.
Yeah. The other thing is, can we have an update on a while ago the industrial land that was being spoken about? Did the Shire end up purchasing that or looking at it still, or 6 months ago?
The Shire is still keen to obtain industrial land.
Yep.
The land that we were looking at, we were unable to purchase. We lodged a number of offers, but in the end, the situation, the financial situation of the owners took precedence over our offers and our desire to purchase that land, so it hasn't proceeded.
Yep. And I also briefly spoke to Rod about compliance issues of different places around town. I think I've spoken to you about it before, Gary, and probably you as well over the years, Katrina, but like there's dongers in 4th Street that you guys make people jump through hoops on their building application. And that was supposed to be one residence, but there's two buildings there, one gets rented out, and the Shire's missing out on a set of rates. Why are these people not being made to adhere to whatever their building approval is. That's not the only one. There's lots of them around town. The old sale yard's up here. A guy lives there, no shooters. I think he's dug a hole.
That was raised for me the other day, Carl.
Yeah, why isn't all that being looked at?
They're down behind Gilly Bus.
Behind Gold, okay. Sort of.
The last time I spoke with him, he was actually a resident of Christmas Island or somewhere.
Yeah.
We have his contact details.
I'll chase that up. It's been an ongoing... That property behind Gilly's old place down there has been an ongoing issue.
What about Fall Street? That's been, what, 6 years?
What's the rates on
a block of land? $2,000 a year. So he's got two people living there.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't happen. It's not in his building approval.
There's complexities around that, as you've explained it to me. I'm not across that head.
It's a matter of sending someone around there. He's not compliant.
We'll take it on notice.
All right. The other one's the house near where my workshop used to be. Tom was given a work order to demolish that because his brother was still living there.
It was a health order.
Yeah, and it was uninhabitable.
It didn't have to be demolished, and it was sold.
Yeah.
And it's now owned by someone else.
Exactly.
Yes.
And he went in there with a handful of nails and a hammer.
Yes.
No paint.
No.
And that's what been over 10 years.
It's been, I don't know if it's quite 10, but certainly been an extensive period of time.
And I dare say, if you send someone around there to have a look now, it's probably still not inhabitable.
So is there anyone living in it?
No.
So it's not habitable, and no one's living in it. There's nothing we can do. He owns the property.
Right. I'll have to take your word on that, but I tend to disagree.
Unless the property is unsafe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is so dangerous that we choose to take for structural reasons. But my understanding is that property, and I haven't checked it out in great detail either, was that you had an order on it that you weren't able to reside in it.
Thought it was to be demolished. So if I'm wrong, but it's still a nice one. It's been like it for a long, long time.
I 100% agree with you.
And I don't think it'll ever be fixed.
A number of people have tried to buy it, to demolish it, and have been unsuccessful.
Yeah, I was one of them years ago, so I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Talking about non-compliance still, there's a caravan up on Sill Street. It's been there for over 20 years. People come and live there. Nothing's ever been done about it. No water, no power.
Up on Sill Street, whereabouts?
Oh, on the corner that turns into CBA, the back way.
So Sill Street's coming off Yeo Road? On the other side of the railway line.
Yeah, if you could still drive through CB8, it's on the corner.
Okay. Don't know, didn't know there was.
Well, it's been there 25 years, and I did bring it up when my application was going through. Nothing has ever been done about it. The blocks so, up
hang
here...
Hang on.
Just to respond to that, certainly there has been significant change in what you're able to do in terms of camping on your own property now. So where the situation in the housing crisis...
I understand that.
The ability has been relaxed
considerably. Yeah. We spoke about that a few weeks back.
And now you're certainly able to camp for at least 5 days on your property.
Yeah. Five days is not 25 years.
5 days. I'm aware of several places where we have people coming up and camping regularly and not permanently.
But regularly,
and they're causing issues, but they're difficult for us to
police
because they hide away
and
they're not obvious all the time.
Anyway, all that aside, there is, you would be aware, Katrina, there is non-compliance things around town that people are basically just sticking their finger up at the shop.
100%.
We'll follow it up.
So... I'm happy if we employ. Are you happy for us to I'm assuming about 95 to 100 grand a year.
Yep.
Employ a compliance officer to simply go around.
What is wrong with a compliance officer / ranger, and things like that? Because you don't get your money's worth out of the ranger from over there.
Do
The range of service that we employ
is not
a couple of hours a week.
Is
not that level of compliance.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. But I don't think you get your money's worth out of the range of
Well, that's a personal opinion.
You
would appreciate that we, largely, most local governments, it's a case of if, when someone reports something that is non-compliance to us, we follow it up. We can't have other priorities instead of driving around town just looking for non-compliance.
Well, who does the vulnerability inspections on some of these places?
Again, that situation has changed considerably in the last few years. So all of the inspections that used to be part of the Building Act are no longer.
So no one does a final building inspection anymore?
No, so we get presented with a
plan or
with a completion certificate.
So who fills that out?
Either the builder or the building, the person who's issued the compliance.
Yeah, yeah.
The certificate of compliance.
So no one goes like a.
So once upon a time, when the Shire building officer and every Shire had a full-time building officer.
That's correct.
We would do at least four inspections. The first concrete pour, number of those inspections that would occur. They've been taken out of the Building Act. And now, in fact, it is a whole lot easier for somebody who wants to build something to get a private certification where the building licence gets presented to the Shire, essentially certified by somebody independent. They come to us prepared.
That's been in place for a number of years.
Yeah,
all right. Well, can someone please look at these non-compliance issues?
You want to send us a list?
Oh.
Yep.
I'll do it formally.
Yep,
probably.
That'd be sensational. Yep.
And then I guess, I don't know if it's non-compliance, but it just looks untidy. The blocks up the end of White Street where you drive around onto Murray Hills or Ian's fence. Sea containers and rubbish and shit laying around. You would have seen if you lived near there.
There's a number of properties near my place that could do with a tidy up, ours included.
Probably the Shire.
Guy, you and I.
But you haven't got rubbish laying everywhere.
You and I have had this discussion over many, many years
where
how a person keeps their yard is entirely their business as long as it's not a fire
but
or.
But in the town precinct, when I put sea containers on my place, I think the bylaws said they've got to be painted, got to be clean, got to be tidy. That looks like shit up there.
Yep, and I do not disagree with you.
Right, well, that's another thing that I think is non-compliant. I don't know if they've got... Have they got council approval for all the sea containers?
For the storage
yes.
on Joe Street?
Down the very end of White Street. So this guy down the back here, that one down there.
My understanding is he has building approval.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Yep. So Guy, unless you're driving down an unmade road, you can't see that from the highway.
No, you can't from the highway, but you can
just
drive down White Street.
You go down a no-through road.
Yep,
agreed.
And with the blocks that were mentioned... I know this last meeting or the meeting before for the rates exemption
last
at the end
meeting.
Of Wall Street. Are they still have to pay for their, some of them won't be, but for their services, sewage and water, even though they're not connected?
They're not connected to sewage. So
yeah, but I think if it
runs
past, you still have to pay
absolutely,
something.
Absolutely, but none of those blocks has the sewage run past.
Even the ones directly opposite the two or three houses on the end of White Street?
Sewage doesn't get there.
What about the houses on the end of White Street? They must be on deep sewage, are they?
I don't reckon they are.
There's
two vacant lots between the houses that are existing and the actual road. There's two vacant lots
on
the front.
So they're ours.
They're ours.
So the ones on the corner, so the runs directly next to you, Terry, that come back to King Street,
on
the
other
side, George's house. George Maguire's house.
No, he's on the highway.
Yep, but these other two on White Street.
Yeah.
We don't believe they're connected to sewage. I don't think it goes down there.
Check on that part.
Because that's
it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it stopped there.
Yep.
That's probably another bit of money the Brookton Shire is entitled to that they really should get if they have to pay their services.
Well, we would know. We'll double check, but we're pretty sure they're not connected to
So,
sewage.
Just to explain, so where we have rateable properties,
yep.
So rateable properties with the ability to connect to sewage,
yep.
to our sewage system, we charge a rate on that. So
yep.
that's a percentage of the valuation.
Yep.
So if
Water Corp do the same,
whatever the valuation of the property is, you pay the same as your property rates, you'll pay a rate in the dollar. For properties that have access to our sewer,
yep.
that we do not rate. So
okay.
and there's a lot of them. So there's the school, the fire station, there's churches, there's a number
yep.
of properties. We charge them. We've adopted a fee in our... We're able to charge an access fee. So for every facility they have in those properties, we will charge them $250
yep.
essentially per toilet.
Okay.
So for the school, that is a sizable charge. For the churches, less so. Quite a sizable fee for the fire station.
Yep.
So, but they don't pay the rate... because they're non-rateable.
And what about the fees of levy? Would they be...
Every property.
Yeah.
Churches.
Everyone has.
Everyone.
So are they getting charged
yes.
Yes.
the blocks at the end of
yep.
White Street?
And that's not exempt under the polls.
No, that's why I asked. Yeah, okay. Because that wasn't really well talked about or explained, I guess, at
well,
the last
Well, it
meeting.
Wasn't part of the item.
Yeah.
God, that ASL levy, the ASL
yeah.
levy in its entirety, the ASL component for the Shire... has two parts to it. One, we're a tax collector,
yep.
so we collect an ESL, the ESL off all of our properties, off
yep.
all of the properties within the Shire, including ours.
Yep.
So we pay the ESL levy
yep.
on our properties. We collect all that money and handball it straight to the state government, lock,
yep.
stock, and barrel in its entirety.
Yep, fair enough.
And then we go to the, we then go through the local government grant scheme and bushfire mitigation schemes to get funding back into the Shire from that pool of money that we send our ESL charges to.
Yep.
So we give all everything we raise goes to Perth,
yep.
and then we fight
to
get it back.
Yep. Yep.
And I'd make the point that we do actually pretty well getting it back. So I'm thinking on...
Two fire sheds,
fire trucks.
But the Shire made a fair contribution to those sheds, didn't they? Or?
No.
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 Oh, okay.
No.
We needed to provide the earthworks.
Yep.
And
No, that was all underground.
That's
all
underground.
The car park.
Earthworks, and I think we needed to install the sewage system as well.
Yeah. Anyway, that turned out quite good. And lastly, just a general spruce up around town. Just over here, even at the old tennis courts, there's weeds, piles of bitumen and crap like that, like the road that was dug up opposite the cop shop. Just literally, you plant trees on that road now it's been dug up. But I think the town needs a general spruce up.
Thanks,
you're
opinion
tonight. That's it.
Terry, you have anything?
Terry's Hall. Is there any in the budget for the gardening group to get their own toilets?
The BCI, the community garden.
Yep.
My understanding, Councillor Don, if I'm wrong, but you're chasing grant funding for toilets.
That's correct.
So that's the
answer.
Yeah.
And we're also chasing enough funding so that it can be all accessible, so we have wheelchair access.
Yeah.
Yep.
We need to basically clean our toilets because it's been the men's shed when everyone comes over the years, including school kids.
I'm sure the men's shed and the community garden become sort of an arrangement where the community garden have used the toilets, they clean them when they're finished.
Well, it'd be better if they had their own toilet.
Well, and we're working towards that, but
yeah.
I suppose historically there was an agreement where everyone shared all of those facilities over there.
Yeah, it was a good building originally.
Yep, so we're the community garden's doing their best in
yeah.
what is a challenging environment.
But I'd also make the point that BCI and the community garden at the moment would make a... their application for those toilets
yeah, oh, yeah.
would make a
very,
really
yes.
good
yeah.
application
unlikely
to
community.
Somebody like the Lotteries Commission,
yeah.
given the broad base of the activities that they
yeah.
conduct and the community interest in that. So, I'm quite hopeful that that in the medium term there'll be some excellent facilities over there.
Just following on from Guy about cleaning up the town. There's three blocks of land on the end of William Street and corner of White Street. It belonged to the Shire, I believe. Yep. There's still heaps of rubbish in there and fire risk.
Yep.
And I've mowed the grass outside my fence on your property, the Shire property. I've got two rows along outside to keep the wild loads off my fence. Can that be cleaned up? Something
We will need to clean that up as part of our... part of our requirement to comply with our bushfire notice. So there's a number of places around Brookton, and I'm getting community requests coming directly to me about neighbours' properties, similar situations to what you're saying, Terry, and in all those people I'm saying, you know, our power to impose or to have people tidy up their property comes from the bushfire order which we've sent out last month. You know, so that'll be a requirement. We do follow that up. Most people take until now. and with fairness, if we were to do lots of mowing of verges, including your place, too early, and we get another 10 or 15 mils of rain, we've got to go back and do it again. So
it's growing 4 inches a week.
But so if I chopped it down 2 weeks ago, it would be going again. So
later some idiots gonna set fire to those big heaps of dead bush and stuff on those blocks.
Absolutely take the point.
Yeah.
Through there with a slasher today.
Yep. So Kirsten McKay, we're on the go now.
Yeah.
This is the time of year as we get out of that wet part of spring where we start doing all that slashing.
I just note that I saw that somebody working a slasher there on that road today, so proactively at it.
With footpaths up there, can the council look at putting some pipes or something under the footpaths and create a dam when all those blocks get under the water? It runs down from, I think it's coming from White Street.
Coming from the top of King. It's coming all the way down.
It comes through someone's backyard up there. I think it's Wendy Rose's place. It comes through her fence from White Street, and it actually floods through there a hole like this, and it's pouring out like a pump, and it all runs down there. It's got nowhere to go near the footpath there that's that high, so it comes in my front yard, and I finish up with 9 inches of water all across my front yard.
That first water main the other day.
That went down the other side of the road.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I might need to sit and have a chat with you about that, Terry, because I don't quite understand.
I think I have got some pictures of it somewhere.
That's fine, because I did go and have a look at the water break.
There was someone. The gardening truck came around one day and had a look at it when it was happening. They were checking the drain. That's the main ones. And I think the little mower might need some new blades, looking at the job that it did on the bottom. Things out there. On the bowling greens out the side out here, the old bowling greens.
Do we mow that?
Certainly that's our land.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty average job. Looks like half the blades are missing off it or something. For a $20,000-odd machine, it's pretty...
Yeah.
All right.
Does that area there he's talking about still get watered, or is it not going to be used as a park?
We've got a couple of mowers there that we want to try out. We've only got a couple of little strips on our place. Shire doesn't have any objection to us mowing it.
Applications for leave of absence. Anyone done on holidays? No. Moving right along. Petitions, deputations, and presentations. Assuming there are none. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. We've got the ordinary council meeting from the 18th of September. Please, can I get a move on a second? Move Councillor Bell. Seconded Councillor Cocking. All those in favour? Carried 6-0. Local Emergency Management Committee meeting from the 7th of October. Can I get a mover and a seconder for the officer's recommendation? Move Councillor DeLunga, seconded Councillor McCabe. All those in favour? Carried 6-0. Announcements by the presiding member without discussion. I hope you'll all entertain me. One last time. As I conclude my time as the 93rd elected member for the Shire of Brookton, I've spent a great deal of time reflecting on the past 16 years, 8.5 of which I've had the honour of serving as Shire President. Since the formation of the Brookton Road Board in 1903, there have been 25 people who have held the position of Shire President or Chairman, and to be part of that history is something I'm incredibly proud of. I'm humbled to have served as the third longest in that line behind W.B. Eber and C.E. Williams, two names that carry great significance in Brookton's story. In my address to Council on the 26th of April 2017, when I was first elected Shire President, I gave an undertaking to simply give it my best and to lead with integrity, honesty and heart, and I know that I have done exactly that. It has not always been easy, but I've given everything I could to ensure Brookton remains a community of choice and a place where people can live, work and play. Former Councillor Mrs. Wendy Wilson sat in these chambers on that day to witness the election of Brookton's first female Shire President. And I know I will certainly not be the last, and I'm sure Mrs. Wilson would be very proud of that. This role has not been without its challenges, and at times the weight of responsibility has been heavy. No matter how often you remind yourself that most of the community does not share the loudest criticisms, it can still be difficult to see your way through. I remind our community that each and every one of us around this table is just like them. The only difference is that we've put our hands up to take a seat here to help guide Brookton's future for generations to come. We are not perfect and we don't get it right every time, but we always make decisions based on the best information available at the time and with the interests of the majority in mind. This role in this room for this community is a privilege, something we sometimes need to remind ourselves of. I once met with two well-known members of our community who were unhappy with a particular decision. One of them reminded me that around 6% of any community will always be dissatisfied. So I remind us all, whilst this number is small, it is often the loudest and the most disgruntled, and it can be hard to ignore or give the appropriate weight. But always remember that the silent majority have their views too. I'm proud that during my time we've continued to evolve as a council, looking forward rather than back, embracing change while respecting our past and focusing on how today's decisions shape tomorrow's Brookton. To every member of the Shire of Brookton staff I have had the pleasure of working alongside, thank you. To former CEO Ian Darcy, current CEO Gary Sherry, executive managers Deanne Sweeney and Kevin Dalton, and especially big thank you. Your support during some of the most difficult times have helped me stay the course. To the 18 elected members I have served with over the past 16 years, thank you. One of the great privileges of council is working alongside people you might never otherwise cross paths with. It has been a rewarding experience. To my deputy, Councillor Tamara DeLunga, Councillors Harold Bell, Lachlan McKay, Rod Wallace and Beryl Copping, I wish you all the very best as you navigate your way forward. A new council will form next week, and with that comes an opportunity to do things your way. Tradition is important, but there is no harm in breaking the mould and creating your own pathway. To the community of Brookton, thank you for allowing me the privilege of serving as your representative for 16 years. We chose Brookton. We chose it to raise our family, build a business, volunteer and give back. Remember that our community is greater than the sum of its parts. Each of us has a role to play, and no one is more important than anyone else. Finally, to my family, my parents, Ross and Ellen, my husband, Philip, and my children, Hannah and Thomas. I owe you guys everything. We have ridden this roller coaster together. Oh, shit. And at no point have I ever felt alone. You have always had my back. You've picked me up, you've dusted me off. And you have reminded me that I was strong enough to keep going, and I could not have done this without you. Brookton has been a huge part of my life, and while my chapter as an elected member closes tonight, my love for this community will never fade. Thank you for the trust, the friendship, and the opportunity to serve.
Nah.
And with that, we're going to move on. Oh,
I I'd now like to attempt to do something. To do something when I was on myself. On behalf of Council, I would like to present an acknowledgement of service to our Shire President, Councillor Katrina Crewe, as Deputy Shire President. This evening we recognise and celebrate Shire President Councillor Katrina Crewe, who has dedicated 16 years of exceptional service to the Shire of Brookton. Her commitment makes her the third longest serving Shire President since the formation of the Brookton Road Board in 1906, a remarkable achievement built on integrity, vision and heart. Elected to Council in 2009, Katrina served as Deputy Shire President from 2013 to 2017, before being elected Shire President in 2017. Throughout her tenure, she has led with courage, clarity and compassion, guiding Brookton through both challenges and growth with unwavering purpose and care for her community. Her leadership has helped shape modern Brookton. She was instrumental in delivering the strategic community plan, overseeing the Kalkani aged care transition and driving the revitalisation of the Brookton Memorial Hall and Railway Station. Beyond Brookton, Katrina's influence extended across the region. One of Katrina's most significant contributions has been in regional transport and infrastructure. As chairperson of both the Webbelt South Hothamdale Regional Road Group and the Webbelt Secondary Freight Network, she provided invaluable knowledge and leadership. Katrina was instrumental in the establishment of the Webbelt Secondary Freight Network and the successful delivery of the $187.5 million jointly funded Strategic Freight Route Improvement Program in 2020, benefiting local governments across the Webbelt. Katrina's calm, practical leadership was also vital during the COVID-19 pandemic. Katrina took an active and practical leadership role in guiding the Shire's local emergency management response. She oversaw the appointment of a Community Emergency Services Manager, CESM, and led the development of new facilities for local bushfire brigades, initiatives that significantly strengthened the region's emergency preparedness and response capabilities. A lifelong learner, she completed the Walga Diploma of Local Government and encouraged professional development across Council. Her service was recently recognised through the Honour of Walga Life Membership, a fitting tribute to her outstanding contribution. So on behalf of Council, staff and the entire Brookton community, we express our deepest gratitude for your wisdom, leadership and heart, Katrina. Your contribution has left an enduring mark on this Shire, one that will be felt long after tonight's meeting closes. Your legacy will continue to guide and inspire Brookton for many years to come. And you've given more than just years. You've given a part of yourself to Brookton, and that is something this community will always remember. Thank you.
Alright, declarations of interest, councillors. We have two booked, Councillor Wallace and Councillor DeLunger, for the late items, and we'll deal with that when we get there. First item on the agenda is 12102501, the request for three dogs at lot 128 Reynolds Street, Brookton. I have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Move Councillor Bell. Seconded, Councillor DeLunger. Anyone got any questions? Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried. Uh, 12102502, amending various local planning policies. This is the submission for final adoption. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Move Councillor Bell, seconded Councillor Wallace. Has anyone got any questions on this?
Okay. Just, I'm presuming that most of this changing, there's obviously a lot of changing around just wording for legal requirements, but there seems to be quite a bit of additional information putting in around signage, some of which seems a little bit draconian as far as not even allowed to have signage on a vehicle that was parked on the street. Is there more background than I'm understanding?
If someone was to park a vehicle on the street for the purpose of being a sign, that would allow us to take action.
So any tradesman that's got
Joe's
electrical service on the side?
No, so if I have a shop in the main street and I wanted to park a vehicle out the front of it, advertising my shop, for example.
Yeah.
That's the idea. That's where that's coming from. It's not that.
It's
not the tradie that's driving around town at all. It's where somebody parks a vehicle for the purpose of signage. So, at the moment, we have rules around signage that relate to buildings and businesses. In the event that somebody parks a vehicle out in front of that business for the purposes of signage for that business, that gets caught up.
Can I use a different example?
Yep.
So if we had a local person who was running for federal parliament and they put billboards on the side of their vehicle and then parked their vehicle in the main street, that's what that's trying to stop. You need approval to do that.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of that.
Can I ask a question there, Gary?
I'm just making sure it's
okay. Yeah, you can ask a question.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're right.
We have a delivery vehicle branded Bedford Gardens Hotel.
Yep.
An example, parked out the front of the club.
Yep.
Intermittently?
Or during the day for the 14 hours of the flu.
Could I make the case that you're doing it there specifically for the purposes of signage? If it's there intermittently, I don't think I can.
I think you're reading too much into it. That's why I use the example of the political signage that you see. That would be the implementation of that.
Is there anywhere, and I realise I should have asked this before now, but is there a copy of the previous one that this is superseding as far as the amount of detail around the signage? Because like this talks about the size, colour, shape, lights on it.
So you have what precedes?
And the marker.
And everything in green is an addition.
So we're adding a whole lot extra to the signage bit without changing anything that was there other than changing some wording current legal advice?
And this has all gone out for advertising, so
yep.
we've already had one run at this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So the additional bits are around.
Yeah.
Location of third-party signs.
Yeah.
And temporary signs.
The driver of this, but it falls under some other rules that we're essentially aligning our town policies to.
Much of the justification for this, town planning and our town planning rules, we need to be in front of the game. So town planning is really difficult if we're trying to reactively do it. You just can't.
Yeah.
So perhaps we're being a little bit pedantic because we don't have these problems, but if we ever have these problems,
we can't
deal with it unless we've got these policies.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with any of the ones in the moan cells other than the fact that it just seems awfully controlling. Not enough to...
Councillor McCabe, normally I approach these things with your sentiment, but I'm just aware that often there's allowances for discretion down the track. But if you haven't got the rules to start with, you have nothing.
Well, all of these were on discretion because there's no actual measurements or anything of that sort.
And it's still it's only a policy.
It is only a policy.
So council can vary its policies at any time.
Although these town planning policies...
Yes,
they're
a bit different.
That process.
Yes, sorry. Yeah. Anything else?
Just a recal application that you need a town planning to have the sign on a third-party land. So if the signage is on private property that's a third party, you still need town planning approval.
So the Stumpy sign out
on
Murray's land needs planning approval.
Yeah.
And that actually, it depends if it's in main roads.
If it's
more
in
the
otherwise main roads.
Just around that, yeah, to justify that, that the sign, the stumpy sign at the moment is not a significant size, but what if it was to be 5 metres long and 4 metres high?
There's one that's bigger than Falco and Murray Hall's or Ann Hall's land.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the billboard that's at Cokerby.
I was going to say, we'll add to that and it turns into a digital sign.
Yeah.
Then we have a whole other world of problems. So.
Well, there's flash rates in here and everything about how much they're allowed to flash.
Oh.
I don't have anything wrong with any of the specifics, just more the principle, I suppose.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? You're voting for it?
Yeah.
Carried 6-0. Just double check. 14-10-25-01, list of payments for September. Can I get a move and a second for the officer's recommendation? Move, Councillor Bellona. Excuse me, second, Councillor Bell. Any questions?
I just want to make the comment. It's really great to see that the Sessions out and about and doing a lot of work, which is fantastic.
EFT 17375 is a replacement for air conditioners. Just wondering to know whether that's part of the replacement of things on a list as far as timeline goes, or whether that I get it.
Well, that was
So that was a replacement at one of our residential houses that had just end of life and failed. So it was required to be replaced. Yeah. But it wasn't the budget as a budget.
That was Councillor McCabe's question. Was it in the timeline? Any other questions? All those in favour? Carried 6-0. Uh, 14-10-25-02, statement of financial activity after the period end 30th of September 2025. Deanne, do you want to...
Just give a quick run through. So currently for the first quarter we're tracking quite well. We've got a surplus of 3.9 million. And just reminding that we are month 3 of month 12. So on there, our operating revenue exceeded our budget by 65,000. The main variance with that was relating to our quarterly grant funding for the CRC. And that's just a timing and a budget profiling issue. So that is self-correct. Our operating expenditure was under budget $683,000, with the main variance of that being our depreciation has been run this financial year, and that's just because it's good practice not to run it until our 24-25 order is signed off. Capital projects remain largely unstarted at the end of September, but they are ramping up now, now that the weather, particularly for our infrastructure and our roads. The statement of financial activity in page 75, so we still see in the amended budget column the deficit of the $322,989, and that was the resolution at the council meeting in August for the over budget expenditure for the tender, and also then the Stephen Carrick that came last month as well for the management of that project. And we're still exploring funding options going ahead before we do any budget amendment for that budgeted area. Page 77, the statement of financial activity by program. The year-to-date budget revenue for the purpose funding other shows a negative amount of the $44,514. Again, this is due to budget profiling and separating of the rates from the other revenue. So the total overall year-to-date is correct at the 3.3 million, but it just shows as a temporary negative display because we've stripped those out, but, and that was self-correct over time. Note 3, receivables on page 82. Just an update on our rates collected. So we've currently collected 71.3% of rates at the end of September, and the same time last year was 70.5, so we're sitting about the same. Note 9, so just reminding everyone on our borrowings note on page 89, we still have unspent loan money of $82,419, and that's for our sewerage network relining. So that program is continuing this financial year, and we'll be wrapped up there. That's all I have, but if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer if anyone's got any questions on the financials.
Can I get a move and a second for the officers when you don't? Move Councillor Lunnon, second Councillor Bell. Any questions for Deanne? If not, all those in favour? Carried. 6-0. 14.10.25.03, the review of the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee terms of reference. Can I get a mover and a seconder for the officer's recommendation? Move Councillor Bell. Seconded Councillor Wallace. Does anyone, Councillor Bell?
Two questions.
Yep.
In regard to the outside members.
Yes, so the independent.
The independent members.
Yes.
Who's paying for them?
And we are.
Are they going to be present?
Well,
or
that,
are they going to be remote?
That will be a decision that the new council will make in time.
Yes. And that may actually play some role in who council chooses.
So we're going to pay for them?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's already in, yeah.
Yeah, and
we've already had it in the budget. Yeah, we've already done that bit. We had already resolved to meeting fees for Eric Peck and Neil Walker, in fairness. You know, we had already done that anyway.
It's likely to be a bit more considerably.
Well, we set the fee.
Yeah, there's still the limits, the same as, so it falls under the same as elected members' sitting fees. And it's,
yeah, there's still a band.
It's a minimum and a maximum that we can pay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've also got travel and other expenses in there.
And that's whether you can, and this all depends. You may advertise for an independent chair and an independent deputy, and they may very well come out of the town of Brookton.
Okay.
So don't. But I said may.
Yeah.
So you know, they're not necessarily going to be driving 300 kilometres to get here.
So they just need to be suitable qualified.
Yes, that's right. It's not just anyone. Yeah, they have to demonstrate some qualifications. Any other questions? Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried. 15.10.25.01, the appointment of fire control officers for 25-26. We have a recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Move Councillor McKay, seconded Councillor Delana. Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried. Okay. I have an officer's recommendation that we consider the urgent business relating to a budget amendment to allow the restoration and works on the Matthews Rotunda, Robertson Road, Brookton. Can I get a mover and a seconder for that, please? Moved Councillor Bell, seconded Councillor McCabe. All those in favour? Carried 6-0. Councillors, Councillor Wallace and Councillor DeLunga have declared an interest. Councillor DeLunga's is financial and Councillor Wallace's is proximity. And they're leaving the room at 6:47. Councillors, I have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder for that? Councillor Copley, Councillor McKay. Anyone got any questions?
I have a question, just a statement of appreciation of the Shire's efforts gone through to not only obtain a quote of restoration, but of multiple quotes of what a replacement would be as well.
Yeah. Anyone else? I will just make this statement. Not that I'm opposed to the restoration of the rotunda. As I said at the last briefing, it needs to be done and we have to do it. I just caution us to react quickly to readjust our budget for a hot topic issue that comes to us, because next month you could have the Quetta Golf Club in here demanding that you reinstate your budget allocation for $8,500 to paint their building. And you would be largely obliged to seriously consider their application because they're no less worthy than the rotunda. I'm not saying the rotunda shouldn't be done. I'm just cautioning us that reacting to an issue quickly can have consequences down the road.
Could I just, because certainly you're correct, Councillor Creek, that the requirements of the Quita Hall don't disappear here at all. we've pushed our response back, but it's still coming. I also just remind Council that at some point in time in the future, somebody may offer to provide something like the rotunda, which will require Council to make maintenance payments of $15,500 a year, $15,500 every 5 years to keep that rotunda looking in a condition acceptable to the community, when perhaps we might have wanted to put something in galvanised steel or anodised aluminium or whatever that made it look good at the start and it still looked that way without us having to paint it.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it's not worthy, I'm just cautioning you making decisions like this.
In response to your statement, Ms. Trina, would it be worthwhile for the Shire to look at in the future having a period prior to the budget being set to ask whether the community has any recommendations towards the budget?
I suppose there's no reason why you can't do that, I suppose, in your role or in our role as elected members, that's part of our job as well. There's no reason why that can't occur. Just be careful of the expectation that you create when you ask the community what it wants, and a number of people tell you that you are creating an expectation. Because you know how long the list is that we had to cull this year.
And I guess that just goes back to that they people need to be across the plan, so the strategic community plan around what's in there, because that's what ultimately drives the budget. So that's the stage where if they're wanting particularly large items done, that planning stage is where they need to be involved.
Mm. And gifts from community to council can sometimes buy us. All those in favour? Carried, 4-0. Can you knock on the door and bring them back, please, Kevin? Thanks. It was carried 4-0. Thank you. And with that, I have the great pleasure of declaring my last council meeting closed. Thanks, everyone. It has been one wild ride.